In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. The modern calendar, we celebrate Epiphany on this weekend, this Sunday. Opportunity for us, as always during Epiphany, to meditate on our reaction to the Christ. Because after all, we see more than the three wise men saw. They were overjoyed at the star. Then they saw Mary and the blessed Lord himself. But we receive in Holy Communion Christ in a way that the three wise men were not at the beginning. Now remember, the three wise men are eventually converted to the faith by St. Thomas the Apostle, and they die martyrs. And a key phrase in this gospel for our meditation, they departed for their country by another way. It indicates really, in a sense, how changed they were by their encountering, their engaging Christ himself and Our Lady Mary Most Holy. But think about it, and it's tantamount to the reality of why there's so much difficulty in our godless culture today, in particular amongst Catholics themselves, who live lives of fear just like everyone else. Because the reality is, what you put into the Mass, you get out of the Mass. That is to say, because of your free will, God does not force his grace on you. He pours it out abundantly, but it is up to us to use the grace. Hence, many people will leave Mass and wonder why they're not changed. It's because they're not interested in being changed. They're not interested in conversion. They're not interested in growing closer to Christ. This gospel teaches us what's necessary to do that. Think of how far away the three wise men were. How much effort they had to put in to going to see Christ. Too many Catholics today would not be inconvenienced by such things. Too many Catholics today would see it as far too egregious, which is why the bishops changed Epiphany from the 6th to put it on a Sunday, because the faithful stop coming. It's far too much to ask them to go to Mass twice in a week. So they moved to Sunday in the new calendar. Fortunately, the old calendar, we will still celebrate on Wednesday, January 6th, and thus fulfill the true 12 days of Christmas. But it's all about people wanting to take a shortcut, wanting everything to be easy and convenient. And this is a reality that God has permitted to test us. And most people, most Catholics, are failing the test because they're living for the world, which means, whether they want to admit it or not, they're living for Satan and not for Christ, because they are consumed with the illusions the devil puts forth. That's why you can juxtapose our own situation, if we are faithful Catholics, to that of Catholics who are not faithful. Because they're like Herod. Because after all, the three wise men, as soon as they decipher what the star is and use their intellect, this is the thing, you know, so many Catholics are influenced by the Protestant heretics, where Jesus is nothing more than a pizza delivery boy, and he does what they need to make himself their personal Lord and Savior, but they have to call him first. And they think that Jesus is supposed to come to them. But in reality, we see that it doesn't work that way. Never once did our Lord go to somebody who needed him just because they needed him. In other words, somebody either had to go on their behalf to bring him to them, or they themselves went to him. Never did our Lord make home deliveries, as people expect today in their faith. The wise men, far off, pack up and go to a completely foreign land. They're touched by grace, and therefore that grace, they're cooperating with it, because they were long aware of the prophecy of Balaam, who would have been in their land. They knew that the Messiah was supposed to rise from that part of the world. Even the Romans knew at that time that there were prophecies about a Messiah coming out of that area of the world. Even the Romans knew there was something about that day and age and that time, due to their own oracles of a pagan sense, because the demons know the truth, God's plan of salvation, in the sense that they could know it when it was happening. But still, God allows these things to be known so that there's an opportunity for conversion. Hence an opportunity for the Romans to know that a Messiah, a great king, would come from that part of the world. The three wise men, who are probably Zoroastrian, would leave paganism behind and worship the one true God. But it took effort. They had to cooperate with the grace. They had to use their intellect. Protestantism, by its very nature, is purely sentimental. It's all about feeling good. It's all about having high feelings and all about making a prosperous life. And too many Catholics live that same way, not recognizing that suffering is a part of the Catholic life because Christ suffered. Because the world is fallen. Because the evil one is prevalent and man chooses to do evil. And therefore, innocent and the faithful will suffer at the hands of the guilty and the godless. But if you believe that your faith is supposed to make you feel good and give you a spiritual high, then no, you're not going to be converted. You'll be like Herod. The courage of the three wise men can be seen, and they're making the journey. And even more so, because it proves to us how the spiritual life works, because as soon as they get near Jerusalem, the star disappears. God withdraws the consolation, which then causes them to have to use their intellect and common sense to see what to do next. Other people, modern Catholics, would have said, well, the star's gone. If he's not going to show me the way, I'm going home. And they would. But these men had faith. They're cooperating with grace. They received the faith that God had given them. And they knew, go into Jerusalem, go find the king there and ask him. And therefore they do it, and they are told where to go. Jerusalem or Bethlehem, the prophecy is fulfilled. And then they find the Christ, and they find Mary. Our Lord does not have Joseph there because everywhere else you see Joseph is there in Scripture because he didn't want the wise men to think Joseph was the father because they knew the prophecy of Balaam that the virgin would bear a son. And he would be the Messiah. They prostrate themselves out of faith and out of awareness of who he is, and then they go back by a different way. Their lives are changed forever. Ask yourself, since you received Jesus in a way that is far more profound than the three wise men, how come you don't leave this place with your life changed forever? How come you don't leave this place with profound enthusiasm for Christ and for the mission of salvation? How come you don't put away sinful behavior, whether it be venial or worse, mortal? Why are you not converted? And the answer is simple, according to the mind of the church. You don't want to be. You don't want to be converted. That's why you can be too much like Herod. Herod lived in fear. People who live in sin always live in fear. They're afraid of everything. They're afraid of death. They're afraid of losing things. And they personalize everything. Everything's about them. Everything's a self-reference. And they don't like even a moment of inconvenience. And they'll make people's lives miserable if they do something to upset what they're expecting. Because sinful people are, by their very nature, completely self-absorbed and completely selfish. Just like Herod. Do you know that Herod was already old and Herod called himself the Messiah? The Herodians were the people that believed that Herod was the Messiah. That's why he built the temple, the beautiful temple, to try to ingratiate himself to the chief priests and scribes and Pharisees, but he couldn't because he was too narcissistic. Even as an old man, he was like women today of that age. He caked himself in makeup because he wanted to look like he was still young. And he covered his hair with a dye because he wanted to look like he was still young because he thought the Messiah must always be forever young. Just like modern godless people who are afraid of death and afraid of aging, they try to disguise it and pretend like that they're still young when they're not. Narcissism, self-absorption, self-reference, self-obsession. And so when Herod finds out there's a king rising, and remember, this is how bad Herod was. He would go out into the streets and disguise himself as a peasant and listen to people's conversations to find out what they're saying about him. And if they said something bad about him, he would go back in the day to his palace and he would send his guards to murder those people who spoke ill of him. That's how narcissistic he was. And remember, there are people in this world that do the same thing in a kind of metaphorical way. They make life miserable for anybody that makes it inconvenient for them. They try to guilt them and try to move them into some kind of emotional blackmail situation. That's a sign of narcissism. And think of the cleverness of Herod, who wants to preserve his life because the idea of another king frightens him. The godless are always afraid. Those who know the faith are courageous because love and courage go together. You cannot have them separated in any way, shape, or form, which is why the three wise men would die martyrs, refusing to renounce Christ when they were commanded to do so. Herod, in his cleverness, wants to get rid of the king, but he knows if he sent his agents to Bethlehem, people would hide because Herod was hated. He murdered his own sons. He murdered his own wife. He murdered his subjects. History records that the emperor even said that it's safer to be Herod's pig than it is to be one of Herod's sons because Jews couldn't touch a pig. And Herod had killed two of his sons and wanted to kill the third one. And two of them were fortunate to live after he died, Archelaus and Herod Antipas. But he was so afraid of losing his situation, of losing his kingdom. He knew he had to be clever, so he tells the three wise men to go and find out. That's why he tells them where the Messiah is supposed to be born, because he knows that if these three men from the east go into Bethlehem, hospitality mandates that if they don't know where the Messiah is, they'll try to find him. They will help the visitors try to find the Messiah. And he's counting on the three wise men to come back and tell him, and then he can do away with this newborn king. But of course, nobody in Bethlehem is really interested, and God is very selective in whom he calls, like the shepherds, the lowest of the lowest. And they go towards Bethlehem, and they're surprised that the star comes back. God restores consolations after he takes them away so that we don't become like Protestants, addicted to emotional highs and addicted to consolations. God gives them, and he deliberately withdraws them so that we'll use our intellect and continue on the journey. And they're excited to see the star. It leads them right to where Jesus is, and then they worship him. And because they're converted by the Christ, they go back by a different way, warned by an angel. And Herod never finds out where the Messiah was at that time. Herod then goes back to Jericho from Jerusalem because he gets sick, and it won't be for a long time before he actually sends his soldiers to destroy all the boys in Bethlehem. It would have been ultimately 2 years after Christ's birth that this happens, because this would have taken place 2 years after Christ's birth, not during the same night as we often treat it in our Christmas cards. So consider your own life. You receive so much more when you come to this altar rail. You actually proclaim when you kneel at this altar rail, you're going to die to yourself for Christ. Why don't you do it? Because if you did, your life would be so different when you walked out of the church. You would be so gracious, so kind, so giving, so generous to others. And you would never expect anything from people in the sense that they owe you or you have a sense of entitlement. You'd never try to control other people's lives. And you'd be free from self-obsession, free from self-consumption. Because that's what the devil wants. He wants us to despair, to be trapped in ourselves. Christ affords us freedom. If you come today to receive Jesus, provided you are not in a state of mortal sin, or worse yet, not believing in him, because one of the worst things you can do outside of receiving communion in a mortal sin is receive him when you don't believe it's him. Because then you put him in an empty heart, and God suffers no rivals. So it will not go well for you when you do that, when you stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Provided you come here in the proper state, take seriously kneeling at this altar which represents death. Take seriously the call to die to yourself and live for Christ. Take seriously the one you are receiving, God himself, the second person of the Holy Trinity, body, blood, soul, divinity, and be like the three wise men, changed forever, not because you're so good, but because Christ is so good. Not because you're so strong, but because Christ is so strong. All you need is the will, like the three wise men showed in making the journey to Bethlehem, and the grace will be there for you. And you can do things that are indeed powerful as an indication of your full conversion. All you have to really do is be interested and want to do it. Want to receive, want to be changed, want to be converted, and want to live life for Christ, through Christ, and in Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.